make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there, and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Vic and Nathan on a football Monday, a post-Oscars Monday. Did your favorite movie win it all? Did you care? Did you, and did you sit through the marathon? That, my only problem with this thing is, and I guess it's the same problem every year, Nathan, it's too damn long. All the awards you care about get pushed to such a late hour that, hey, I'm struggling to stay up for that.
I don't understand why they spend basically 3 hours and 45 minutes on a lot of stuff that people don't really care about and then cram the biggest four awards really into 20 minutes.
Right.
I don't get it.
It doesn't work. From a programming standpoint, it doesn't work. Now, I'm sure somebody will tell me that's because, Vic, they got to get in all those commercials and all the millions of dollars that ABC makes from that. But you know what? As a show and as something that you really care about, you just want to know who won. And
right.
You don't need all the other BS. And you know, and those categories, like you said, those can – I mean, I think they can be done at a separate event, right? They can be done – they could knock those off at a luncheon and then get the stuff that matters – like you said, in half an hour, and
for
you're
sure.
in and out.
And the truth be told, I used to be way more into the Oscars. Now that I have kids,
yeah.
I don't get to watch as many movies as I once did. And really, all my kids wanted to see from the Oscars was Let It Go. And John Travolta butchered Idina Menzel's name so bad that it even detracted from that. Like, get it together, Travolta. You have one thing to say.
Okay, now I'm not going nuts. Good. I thought he had said something like Adele or something.
He called her like Adele Dazeem.
So I turned to my wife, because me not being completely up to speed on all that, I said, isn't there a singer named Adele? That isn't her, right?
Right.
I said,
no,
she's the chick from Cheers. From,
totally butchered.
From what was it? What's the name of the other show she was in? She was in some TV show.
Idina Menzel?
Yeah, right? Isn't she something?
Well, she was in Rent.
That's what it was.
That's where she like kind of became famous in Rent, and then she's been in a ton of movies. She's in a ton of stuff.
I mean, I didn't watch a lot of the movies that were there, but I'll say I did. Yeah, let's Jason Gibbs, our producer, is going to now let's hear the audio on John Travolta's mistake here.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. And he said wickedly talented because she was in Wicked as well. She was in the original Wicked.
So like he knew.
Like he knew. He blew it.
Poor John. All right.
John. Poor Idina Menzel. She's about to sing a solo at the Oscars, and the guy can't even introduce her properly.
Her big moment, and you know, she gets introduced by John Travolta. Well, who knows? What was on his mind. But here's the deal. So I don't watch a lot of these movies, but I will say – I did, because I anticipated something from Gravity, which, of course, ended up winning everything except the categories that counted, I guess.
Right.
But they were going to win all these production categories. But I decided 2 hours before the start of the Oscars to do an on-demand rental of that and watched it. And, okay, you know, and I got it. I got why I said this is going to clean up in all those categories, and it sure enough did. But it got to the point of almost being ridiculous, where I think maybe some other movies should have gotten some consideration. I did see, and I made a projection that Dallas Buyers Club that Matthew McConaughey was going to win Best Actor, because he didn't just act well, I thought, in that movie. He dropped all that weight dangerously. So he looked every bit the part of what he was supposed to be, an AIDS patient looking like on his way to death. And he was convincing as can be with that. But that took such a physical commitment to a role. And I said, oh, my God, you know, how does somebody do that? I'm sure there are other actors, who just couldn't do that, couldn't put themselves through that, and he did. So on that alone, along with the acting job he did, I thought it merited that. He got that. But I did. I got to see more. What it usually does every year is it makes you want to watch some of the other movies, right, that are honored.
For sure. And that's what I always put on my list, and then I never get time to watch any of them.
Yeah, because, again, you got the younger kids. So
exactly.
That's the challenge.
I'd seen Frozen, but that didn't make it for Best Picture. It did win the song, though.
Some football that we got going on,
yes.
And that is what the show will be about. But we bring up the Oscars, and I will tell you this. Gary Barnidge, tight end for the Browns, is a movie aficionado. He really is. Has these neat contests with his Twitter account, at Gary Barnidge, to get people who answer trivia questions right together and treats them to a movie. He has taken teammates to a movie. We've done features on him for ClevelandBrowns.com. So he'll join us today. We got to get his Oscar thoughts because it's coming from a guy who cares that much about the movie industry and who also, of course, plays for the team. Kind of a good connection there. We'll get into that. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is going to join us in a little bit, about 10 minutes or so, to get the latest on what's going on. This is a big day. 4 p.m. today, teams need to decide if they are putting franchise tags on players or not, or letting them hit the open market in free agency, or there's another option, they could sign them to a long-term deal. As we sit here right now, the latest that we understand from the Browns is nothing has changed between the Browns and two free agents to be, one being Alex Mack, the center, the other being the Pro Bowl safety, and that would be T.J. Ward. And we've speculated, we've talked about the idea that maybe they use a tag on one of these guys. Well, the clock's ticking, so they're going to have to come up with this in less than 3 hours if
yep.
they're going to do it.
We've got 2 hours and 53 minutes, and Ian Rappaport, who will join us in about 10 minutes, was the guy who just reported as it relates to Alex Mack on Twitter, basically saying that how serious are the Browns about getting Alex Mack back? The team brass met with the player this weekend, I'm told. Their idea was to get Alex Mack more acquainted with the new front office. Browns sources describe re-signing him as their number one priority. So that is still out there. Possible that he will move on despite the best efforts of this team, but
yeah.
Clearly it is a priority for the Cleveland Browns. On the T.J. Ward front, this one has a little more intrigue in it based on the news coming out of Buffalo. And I know you could comment on this very well, Vic, but now the latest is that it sounds like they are not going to be able to sign Jarius Byrd, although they're continuing to work at it, and that they will not be franchise tagging him. And given that Byrd was reportedly offered a contract that would have made him the highest paid safety in the league over the first 3 years of the deal, and he turned it down, a lot of people are speculating that he wants to come to Cleveland to be reunited with Mike Pettine.
Yeah, that is the speculation. I've heard the same thing, and of course I'm very close with a lot that comes out of Buffalo, so the talk of Byrd has been pretty steady. And I had gotten some feedback initially that he was going to stay, that the Bills were going to figure this out and get this thing done. As time has gone on, obviously, and with no deal done, no long-term deal done, and that was my understanding of what they were going to do, then it leaves open that question as to whether or not they're, in fact, even going to get anything done with the guy, or does he hit the open market as a free agent? And if that happens, the likelihood is that he leaves Buffalo. It's been a very acrimonious relationship between Byrd and the Bills from last year. Didn't like the fact that he had a tag and they didn't get a long-term deal done with him. His agent is Eugene Parker, based in Indiana. I've known Eugene for a long time. He's represented multiple clients that have played for the Bills through the years, and during the 18 seasons that I spent covering that team, I dealt with Eugene a lot. And there's a thread. There's a consistency, Nathan. The consistent thread is that there were contentious negotiations, holdouts, problems with clients who eventually ended up elsewhere. And Byrd, again, is another client of Eugene Parker. And then, wherever this goes, whether it has anything to do with the history between Parker and the Bills, honestly, front office people have changed through the years, but there are still some folks there, including the owner of the team and others, who are quite aware of Eugene Parker and his history with Bill's clients. So we'll see if that has anything to do with how this plays out, if it doesn't play out favorably with Byrd staying. Does he end up a Cleveland Brown, and does it make sense for the Browns to pursue him? I would think Mike Pettine's first thought would be, we're a better team to have this guy. one of the best safeties in the league, maybe the best safety in the league in our lineup. But I think there's a flip side to this too, and that is the availability of Bird from a health standpoint, maybe from even, you know, an attitude standpoint. Is he ready to settle in, and will he be happy? Will he be a guy that whatever led him to the point where he was unhappy in Buffalo, and obviously it's over money, over a contract, and not wanting that franchise tag, can he settle himself into and put all of that behind him to play for the Browns or any other team? Because he really wants to be there and be part of that. The dots are connected between coach and player, but I don't know what the opportunity looks like for Jarius Bird if he himself looks at it as something better for him. And that's going to be the question that would have to come up. But you're the Browns. Do you move on from a Pro Bowler that you already have at safety and T.J. Ward? Does that make sense, Nathan?
That's the question, and I think that's a question that can best be answered by our coaching staff. Because ultimately, when you look at Jarius Bird, you look at T.J. Ward, I think, in my opinion, T.J. Ward is probably the best in-the-box safety in the league. Tremendous against the run, ferocious hitter, not a great deep coverage safety, but wasn't asked to do that in Ray Horton's scheme and thrived in it. The question becomes, what is that role or the expectations for that position in Mike Pettine's scheme? And that's where it becomes interesting, because Mike Pettine has said things like this when talking about safeties. T.J. Ward, I think, is very much a strong safety. Mike Pettine, talking at the Combine, said, quote, "We don't talk about our guys in terms of free and strong. I think that's the key to our success, having guys who have the interchangeable skill set to do both. Teams can force safeties to change jobs anyway because of the things they do pre-snap, so we want guys who can do both." I'm not saying T.J. Ward's not capable of it. I think he's great. Ideally, you'd want to have Bird and T.J. Ward and have the best back end of any team in the NFL, but I think at $20 million tied up in the safety position would be cost prohibitive. I think it's going to be one or the other, and I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but if you're the Browns and you don't re-sign T.J. Ward, or don't franchise T.J. Ward, you better be sure Jarius Bird is coming to town.
No question. I'm 1,000% that if you're going to say goodbye to a Pro Bowler, you better say hello to one of the best regarded safeties
in the game.
In the league, in the game. You have to do that. You can't. I don't think it makes sense to go from a Ward to a unproven lesser player. And that ties into the question regarding Alex Mack. If you say goodbye to him and then suddenly you become a team without not only a Pro Bowl center, but also a guy who's one of the very best. It's not just that he's a Pro Bowler. He has established himself as one of the very best at his position.
Yes.
How do you move forward from there? Are you going to go with the unaccomplished guy that you say, well, he's young, he can work his way there, we see a lot of promise and talent, and it's center. It's not like talking about a tackle. But, I mean, I hear that, but I don't buy that. When you've got one of the very best already in your midst and you have all this cap room, it's a difficult thing to explain to your fan base that you didn't get one or both of these guys done.
To me, the difference is with Ward, and granted, I want to keep, if they re-sign Ward, I would be thrilled. If they don't re-sign Ward and Bird comes in, I would be thrilled with that as well, just because I know the kind of quality player that he is, one of the best coverage safeties in the NFL. But to me, at least there you can see in your mind's eye a potential solution to losing T.J. Ward that seems at least palatable, or at least an even exchange. There's no scenario like that with Alex Mack available.
No,
there is no Alex Mack in free agency.
No,
there's nobody who can do what he can do. So that's why it is the number one priority of the team. Ian Rappaport again tweeting that within the last hour on Twitter, and he will join us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in a moment. But what we want you guys to be thinking about, because we're going to have Ian Rappaport, then we're going to have Jim Donovan at 1:45. But in the interim, between those two segments, I want to think, do you guys want, what do you want? Do you want to franchise T.J. Ward, or would you rather pursue Jarius Bird in free agency? Do you think that the Browns have to franchise Ward to keep him? What do you want to do with Alex Mack, obviously? These are the things, these are decisions that are coming to roost today,
right,
as it relates to the tag, free agency again, beginning a week from tomorrow, March the 11th. So a lot of stuff, a lot of important stuff, and we'll try to get the latest with Ian Rappaport, who will join us momentarily.
Let's go to Ron in Rocky River, who does want to weigh in on that question, Nathan. Ron, what do you got?
Hey, there's national reports out there saying that that Bird is also being eyed up by his former Oregon coach in Philadelphia. So the coach's link going there in the Philadelphia to play for his former coach. They're licking their chops about him. I would not franchise T.J. Ward. I think you guys have mom goggles on compared to the national perspective. T.J. Ward's been a disappointment as a round two draft pick nationally because of his lack of tackling and able to finish two of his four seasons, I believe. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ron. I thought his fourth season was his best. I thought he did prove, and not only did he stay healthy the whole year, and that was a legitimate question to be raised in two of those previous years of the 3 years before last year, but he played at a high level, and he was also utilized in a role that I thought took great advantage of his skill set, and I have reasonable faith that the scheme the Browns are employing now, while different than what he thrived in last year, would also take advantage of his skill set. And I think his ability to hit and get involved in plays, maybe not the best of all, but it's not, I wouldn't call it bad in any stretch.
The national media, he got to the Pro Bowl this year, was recognized by the national media.
And he was
media.
An all-pro, by the way, he got all-pro selection,
all-pro.
Too.
All-pro, right. That's the media.
That's a media panel, Ron. So, you know, what you talk about what the national media says, you're being selective. I know you probably want to hear, you're down on Ward, so whoever said something anti-Ward was great to you. I can't tell you that I heard many people tell me that guy was a bad player or a player who didn't deserve recognition. Pro Bowl involves players, coaches, and fans. All Pro involves national media. He was picked for both.
And one other note about the Philadelphia Eagles, the Browns have more than double the money under the cap that the Eagles do. More than double. So if it were to get into that type of award, the Browns clearly in a better position to deal with that than the Eagles.
National perspective, and we will bring you that with Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. That's coming up on this Football Monday edition of CBD. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.